Welcome everybody to Leagues HQ, a Basketball Victoria podcast. Ted West here. We have Greg and Sarah in the studio. Welcome, this guys, to another week.
G'day, Ted. G'day, everyone.
Very excited to be here. We have quite a few things to touch on today. We have some big venues. It is off season, and you know, a lot of teams have begun their preseason, begun their open runs and tryouts and whatnot. So it is about time we jump back on Big V and see what's going on. We have a youth qualification series which is occurring for the second time, so we'll touch on that. We obviously have our CBL, which is wrapping up very, very soon. 7 weeks, seven rounds into the season we are in. We have some conferences are in their last week before finals. And then we're going to touch on some VJBL content towards the end of this podcast. But we'll jump straight into Big V because we have finalized our youth qualification series for 2025. Greg, we had the inaugural youth qualification series in February 2024, and it was a massive success.
Yeah, it was a terrific first up. I think we stumbled upon something. We didn't realise it was going to be a special event on the calendar, and I think it's already starting to establish itself as that. It is about creating more even competitions within our youth system. So the easy argument against youth qualification is the winner doesn't get automatic promotion. And the reason we've steered away from that system was because all too often we saw teams win, lose a group of players for whatever reason, graduating being the most obvious one, and then that team not being ready to make the jump into another division. And
yep,
what we got to see in 2024 was, I think it was on average two teams were shifting up or down a division,
yep,
which is kind of what we wanted. We think back to the 2022 season. There was a club that went, I think it was 22-0, won their first one or two finals and then lost the grand final.
Correct.
They didn't get a look at promotion. Whereas in this system, what we've allowed is the situation where a team that's maybe developing young players and gets top four, they get a crack at promotion. And likewise, if you've won the title, had a series of graduating players, you're not going to get hung out to dry in the higher level. But likewise, if you're at the lower end of a ladder, you get a chance to develop your group and still survive in that higher grade.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, from the other side of it, there's definitely been teams in all competitions that have constantly struggled throughout the year but haven't actually finished on the bottom of the ladder. Yeah. So those teams that are getting, you know, 2-3 wins for the season, they're actually able to now play in a competition where, you know, they're a lot more competitive in it, and it's probably more of an enjoyable season, I guess, because you're winning games, it's more competitive, you're pushing towards that final as opposed to, you know, coming out and losing on a weekly basis almost.
Yeah, you're right, and that's, you know, I say this with the right intent, right? So Blackburn was one of those teams that for, yep, several years batted above their weight division in terms of sizes, association, did an outstanding job.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've actually really benefited from having a year in Youth One. They never quite got last place in Youth Champ. They always just survived. You know what? There's something about winning. There's something about having a chance to be at the top of the tree and win.
Yep.
And while they didn't get to win the championship in Youth One, here they are straight away looking to bounce back into Youth Championship again. They got the opportunity to do it. And that's kind of what we wanted, an ability for the associations to move up and down the ladder, or up and down the division, sorry, more freely.
Mm-hmm.
and have those grades in the new season be more reflective of the talent both in-house and that has evolved over the summer period.
Absolutely. So we've steered away from the two venues that we had in 2024. We had Montmorency Stadium and Eagle Stadium host in 2024. We now are happy to say that we have our VYC and Youth League One for men and women being played at Narrangeri Stadium, and then our Youth League 1 and Youth League 2 men and women competitions being played at Altona Sports Centre. Two Big V venues, two Big V associations, so very, very excited to now announce that. We have fixtures that are going to be coming up live along with an article, which is very, very exciting. We have a bunch of new teams that are competing in this. We have some awesome stories that I guess are coming out of this as well. With I would almost say with the likes of Westgate, they jumped into Big V in 2024. They had an awesome season in Youth League too. They versed Pakenham in the grand final and they got the win. So they were champions of Youth League 2 in 2024 and already have that opportunity to progress to Youth League 1. So an awesome story right there.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And it's I just, if I can lean back into the stadiums as well.
Yes.
So Narrangeri Stadium, only I think that would be 4 or 5 years old now, out of the Darabin Council.
Yep.
I know our team's just really big on trying to provide different facilities, opportunities to host events.
Correct.
And to go to Narrangeri Stadium is true. It happens to coincide with the fact Darabin's in the Big V for the first time, albeit they're not competing in youth qualification series, but Altona's likewise. That's been a stadium. Geez, I think back to that stadium. This is before your time. You were only a baby, Ted, but 20, 25 years ago, that was a pretty dark stadium. It didn't have too many courts to it. And geez, the stadium there just reflecting the growth of the region. And, yeah, it just seems to be adding new pods to it every time we go out there. It was a beautiful facility when I was there late in the last VJBL season.
Yeah.
So, terrific to be taking the Youth Qualification Series event down to Altona.
Absolutely. So, if you want to find out more, there will be an article up on the website in the coming days. There is a lot that sort of happens within this day. As to how it works, we have second chance games, we have elimination games in the morning and then evening. So be sure to jump on the Bass Victoria website to have a look at how it actually works and to see who's going to be playing who. It's going to be a very, very exciting day, Sunday the 9th of February. So a few weeks leading into round one of the Big V season. Very, very exciting time. Greg, I'm no doubt you'll be at one of those venues supporting.
I don't know about supporting. Maybe supporting the staff, Ted. That'd
supporting be about supporting, it, supporting but, basketball as a whole.
Supporting basketball. No, I really enjoyed last year. What's cool is to see people turn up. I actually hadn't factored in people going to come and watch the games.
Yes.
There was bigger crowds last year than I expected.
I don't think we did expect to be honest. We weren't too sure.
To be fair, this was just a little idea we had about 12 months prior. Yeah. I said, how cool would this be? And suddenly it turned into an event people showed up to, which is terrific. It's also, I mean, it's basketball. We have a terrific basketball community. And what I love is sitting here looking at matchups and people know, was it 2 months in, 2.5 months in advance, what these matchups are going to be. And if they win a matchup, they're directly into VYC. If they lose, they've got to beat, you know, one of these two teams. It's it's a different format, and you know, we like to be a little bit creative, but the whole idea is to add to the youth season, and certainly I think that's what it achieved in 2024.
Yeah, 100%. Like you said, there is some very, very exciting matchups. We have some seriously big associations that are going to be battling against each other. We're going to see some matchups that we probably wouldn't typically see as well, which is going to be very, very exciting.
Knox v. Albury Wodonga and the youth women.
I love that.
I think it's fantastic.
I love that.
The Bandits have made a run.
Yeah.
And they finished the Youth 1 season strongly, and here they are with a crack at VYC.
Oh, 100%.
It's all what it's all about.
Oh, 100%. So, Youth Qualification Series for 2025, the second one that's ever occurred, the 9th of February, Narrangeri and Altona Sports Centre. So more information, jump on the Basketball Victoria website to find out more. As we jump to our CBL, week 7, round 7 in the books. Sarah, welcome.
Thanks, Ted. Welcome me back again. As you were mentioning, obviously just finished off round 7. And like you mentioned at the start, we also have 1 week to go in Northwest, which is shaping up to be a really good week by the looks of it as well.
Absolutely. So two weeks left for our three other competitions of Gippsland, Northeast and Southwest, with the Northwest 1 week to go. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it is all top four across all conferences when it comes to finals?
Yeah, so finals, we go top four with semifinals in week one, and then week two we do our grand finals.
Very, very exciting. Now, this is your first year sort of running this competition. Have you had any sort of idea of what the finals were last year, or how they went, crowds and everything like that? Or is this going to be something that is just going to be very new to you and exciting to be a part of?
I mean, I did get to go to Southwest in Horsham, which was probably a really good way to start sort of my time in CBL. It was Horsham playing at home in the men's grand final, and the crowd was ginormous. I think they pretty much sold out their stadium. They were putting chairs around the court, trying to fit in as many people as they physically could. Portland also played in the women's, and they also bring a crowd. I know they brought a bus up to Horsham, so that was jam-packed. So that's sort of where my standard is at the moment. We'll see how everyone else goes in terms of crowds and things they bring in, because I don't really have any experience in that space. So we'll see what happens, but I know there'll be plenty of crowds around, everyone coming out and supporting their teams who make finals.
Absolutely. Very, very exciting time in the lead up to finals. I know it becomes a stressful time for yourself as well, as there's so much to do. But no, it is something that we strive to make as big of an experience as possible, and make sure that, you know, the crowds can get there. It can be a packed out stadium, and obviously the competition speaks for itself of how intense and how exciting and thrilling these games all are. Gippsland men, let's jump straight into it. One of the competitions with 2 weeks left. We have Pakenham and Traralgon, firstly, that are they're sitting on top of the ladder together, 7-1 record. Looking like they're going to be remaining in that top four. It's just going to be a battle to see who finishes on top, really, as we have one Thaggy that defeated Warrigal this weekend, 85-77.
Yeah. This is a conference that pretty much anyone up until, I think I worked out, eighth with Currumburra, who have 3 games in hand and are only 2 wins out of the top 4, can make. So that shows how wide open the competition is with 2 weeks to go.
Yeah.
So like you mentioned, we had Wonthaggi taking on Warrigal, getting the win over them, 85-77. This was an important win for them. We touched on last week, they had a hard weekend. Their win did push them up into third, even though they did take the loss to Mafra on Sunday. So really good for them to get the sort of 1-1, pushes them up the ladder, gets another win on the board for them, but also probably importantly gets them that head-to-head with Mafra.
Yes.
And that could be very important when we look in finals in 2 weeks' time and where everyone sits. Because if they're on the same points, we do go back head-to-head. So that's an important stat for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So it does go by initial ladder points percentage and then head-to-head across all competitions. So if we do have any of those teams that do finish on the same win-loss record, yes. It is by win-loss or percentage first, sorry, and then win-loss. Is that correct? Believe so. That's all right. Let's move over. We have our next Northeast competition here. Again, 2 weeks ago, we have 3 teams all on the same record here. So Seymour, Wallen and Wodonga, 6-1 record. I think it's fair to say that all 3 teams are going to remain in finals. Again, another one of these ones where it's just going to be a fight to see what placings and who's going to be playing who.
Yeah, so 3 teams all fighting to make the top 2 to have their home semi. I think a big thing is Wodonga went into the weekend undefeated. And then Wallen got up and over them on the weekend, which was a really good win for them. They also had the sort of Northeast doubleheader taking on Albury on the Saturday as well. So they got over Albury by 5 and then had a really good win against Wodonga, 82-61. So really showing that they are going to be a contender come finals. And showing that they can take it up to the top teams.
Yeah, fantastic. We move to our Southwest Men Conference again. We had another Friday hoops over at Mount Gambier.
Yeah, so what I deemed the Battle of SA between Mount Gambier and Millicent. So Mount Gambier, the reigning premiers, got up and over Millicent by 6. Nelson Forbes from Millicent top scored with 21.
Yeah, I think this is one of my sort of favourite competitions, to be honest, because it is so close. You have Maryborough and Swan Hill actually. Sorry, that is not the right conference. Apologies there. That is our Northwest Conference. Sorry about that. That was my favorite conference, but we'll move back. This is an exciting conference, though.
Yes, this is another one. There's plenty going on in terms of ladders and where everyone's going to finish. Just so much going on. I know when we talk into the week to come, there's a lot happening in there in terms of the way finals could go and positions and everything. Mm. Another one to touch on was that Horsham defeated Warrnambool on the weekend as well. So that leaves Horsham only with the one loss, along with Mount Gambier. And I know they're sitting second and third at the moment. So this really could be shaping up in finals for the grand final rematch from 2023, but I don't think you can count out sort of a Warrnambool. They've really got their season started and everyone else who's sort of fighting to get into that four spot as well.
Absolutely. Warrnambool sitting on top of the ladder there. They fell short on the Saturday night, but then got the win on Sunday, 73-57 over Hamilton. Riley Nicholson was the top scorer there with 26 points. So a massive win for them, just holding on to that top position. As we move to our Northwest, this is the conference here with 1 week to go, Sarah. A lot is happening here. Castlemaine are the ones that are sitting on top with a 7-1 record.
Yes, another one that can kind of go anywhere. The finals placings are pretty much locked up,
yes,
for, especially the men's, but it's really going to be about the battle of the top four. I know in the coming weeks, most of them are playing each other. So again, when we're talking head-to-heads, that's going to be really important on who takes wins. But even just for the percentage-wise anyway, in terms of percentage wins. So we had Maryborough who defeated Melton 86-78. Lachlan Drummond top scored with 28. Melton's second half is probably where the game sort of ran away from them. They had a very strong first half, came into halftime leading by 6, but then scored 16 and 19 respectively in the last two quarters, which saw them go down over a strong finishing Maryborough.
Mm. Yeah, we also had Swan Hill, who unfortunately I don't believe will make finals here, but they have wrapped up their CBL season for 2024 with a win over Kyneton, 91-74.
Sorry, Ted, cutting you off there. That's all right. They finished up with a really good win at home.
Yeah,
like I think that's the best way you could finish up your season, getting the win at home over Kyneton, 91-74. Just would like to point out, Swan Hill only suited up 6 players. I'm feeling like the Sunday game might have impacted a little bit of availability for them. But shout out for them to getting the win with only 6 players.
Yeah, absolutely. I think no doubt win or loss, they would have gone and celebrated however they would have wanted to. Not making finals, obviously not their target. But no, a win to finish off their season is obviously a high note that they can go out on. So yeah, as you said, finals looks pretty locked in place. It's just a matter of who is going to finish where for, what is it, 1v4 and 2v3 crossovers in that top four.
Yeah, we're then going to move into the women's competition. So starting off with Gippsland women, again, they've got the 2 weeks left. So we have Currumburra, who currently sit on top of the ladder after defeating Morwell 63-52. Currumburra, probably put it down to a little bit of their consistent scoring across all four quarters, as well as having 3 of their players get into double digits to make sure they took the win. Mm. Noting the loss does seem more well just sitting outside that top four. They do have a bye this weekend, so that means their last two games in round 9 are going to be must wins for both.
Yeah, absolutely. So sitting 3-3 at the moment, as you said, just out. We also have Currumburra sitting on top with a 5-1 record. We also have Warrigal and Moe, who are both sitting 2nd and 3rd. Warrigal higher with the percentage, but they're both 5-0.
Yes.
So we have
the few undefeated teams, and the fact that they're in the same conference is really good. We also do a little preview, see them face up this weekend.
Warrigal, Moe. So someone's going to remain undefeated here. That is going to be a massive game. I'm actually very excited to see what happens there. But expecting those 3 teams, and yes, it is absolutely a battle to see who's going to finish in that 4th spot, whether it be Mafra, whether it be Morwell, Pakenham even have that opportunity I believe, to jump in as well. So this is going to be shaping up to be a very, very exciting race for fourth position. As we jump to our Northeast women, we have Myrtleford that are sitting on top of the ladder quite comfortably with that 5-0 record, Sarah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if anyone can knock off Myrtleford. They've been quite consistent throughout the season. They did have the bye this weekend just gone.
Yep.
But looking in the next couple of weeks, and especially in finals, finals is anyone's game. So wouldn't be surprised if you see someone get super close to them or take them down in the next couple of weeks or even in finals, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yep.
We had Wodonga this weekend. They had a great weekend getting across the board against Shep on Saturday. We had Molly Moyland when we're talking about Youth League. I know she plays in there as well.
Yes.
So she did top score with an incredible 40, which also included 6 threes as well.
Yeah, massive. She's definitely developing her game extremely well. So congratulations to her for hitting that 40 mark. That is, yeah, very, very, very impressive with the 6 threes to go along with it.
Yeah, amazing. And I'd also like to point out, I did mention her as one to watch at the start of the season. So, I've done some good research.
Caught it early.
If we play it back to the first one, I did mention about Molly only because I knew her from netball, but I did know that she was quite a good basketballer. So I think wind the tapes back and you can see, you know, mentioning people.
Shout out Elizabeth, Molly Mullen then. Very, very exciting.
All I heard there, Ted, was Sarah stroking her own ego.
Why not, mate?
Why not? No, sorry.
Go ahead. Shoot your shot, Sarah. I love that.
Let me have my moment.
No, this is the top. Only five teams in this competition, so top four. So Shepparton have 3 games left for themselves. They're on, played 5 games, so they have 3 games left. So they actually can still make finals if all things go their way. They finished 5-3. If Albury drop their last few games, they actually might jump on top and finish in that finals run. Don't know how possible it's going to be, but I just needed to throw it out there. There are 3 more games. If they go 3-0 and things go the right way, they actually could get in.
I mean, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
I think that's the main thing to point out here across the board. Anything is possible.
Absolutely. Southwest here, Mangambia again on the Friday night hoops against Millicent. They got the win 61-53. Some consistent scoring taking out third and fourth quarters. It was a recipe for success at Mangambia, wasn't it, Sarah?
Yeah. So as we talked about earlier, the Battle of SA went to Mangambia this weekend on the Friday night with their tournament going on as well. So some good crowds were had there, and obviously with the two SA teams battling out on Friday, I'm sure it was very crazy seeing the women win as well, continuing sort of their season and trying to push towards another grand final appearance. Portland then continued to show on Saturday why they are a strong chance of going back to back in CBL. They defeated Mount Gambier 76-53. Portland won all 4 quarters, which, again, hasn't really happened in too many games across all conferences this year. So really good win by them. We had Heidi Jones with 19, finishing with 3 threes as well. So it's shaping up for another big 2 weeks. Pretty much anyone in the 5 can actually take a top 4 spot.
Yeah, this is a really interesting one. You got, like you said, Portland on top. They got the 6-1 and then, you know, Colac, Mangambia, Millicent, all with the 2 wins, with Warrnambool just 1 behind. So, yes, Portland definitely looking like they're going to go back-to-back. But you said earlier, it is anyone's game when it comes to finals. You have no idea what's going to happen. So, regardless of what happens here in these final few weeks in this Southwest Conference, Portland is without doubt going to be the team to beat, but anything can happen. Northwest, like we said in the men, 1 week to go. This is probably the conference that is going to be the biggest one this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. When we look at what happened in this week just gone, we had Mildura taking on Kyneton. So it was, I think, might have been 1-2 when we looked at the weekend, but now it's first and third. Mildura only with the 1 loss along with Bendigo and Kyneton. They end up taking the win with 6 points at home. Mildura were down by 5 leading into the end of the third quarter and just went on an absolute rampage. They outscored Kyneton 18-7 and stormed home to take home the win. Like we were talking about earlier, this could be really important when we're talking about ladder placings and head-to-head in sort of how the ladder finishes in semi-finals. Especially if you have to travel to Mildura or Mildura don't have to travel somewhere, that's going to be massive.
Yeah, absolutely. Mildura sitting third and getting that win. That actually might throw them back on top. So, no, very, very exciting there. You've got Backers Mast who are sitting fourth there with the 5-4 record. Maryborough, who have played, I believe, all 10 of their games. So I think they're just going to be falling short out of finals there. So I think it almost looks pretty locked in this conference as well. Just a matter of where these teams are going to finish up with Kyneton and Bendigo and Mildura.
Yeah, another one that's just going to rely on the last 2 weeks to see how everything shapes up. Also, shout out to Melton, who took 2 from 2 on the weekend, defeating both Maryborough and Macedon. We had Ellie Price, who was super consistent, scoring 20 in both games.
Amazing. Fantastic. Well, the week to come, as you said, even off podcast before, this is massive here because we have a lot of teams that are at the top of all ladders that are coming up against each other. Do you want to give us a rundown of what you've got and what you've sort of pointed out here?
Yeah, there's plenty going on in every conference across the board. A lot of top four teams playing each other or playing teams just sitting outside the four. So it's going to be some really good battles come this weekend. So as we were talking about in Northwest, the top four is set in the men's and pretty much all set in the women's. So it's pretty much all about ladder placements at the moment. So we have Bendigo Men, who have a bit of a tough weekend for them. They've got two top four teams. So we have top of the ladder, Castlemaine, and then also Mildura as well. So both of these games, I'm sure, will come down to the wire because everyone's bidding to try and get that home semi. And then obviously in the women's, if we're talking about Bendigo being one of those three teams with the one loss, and they're in second place, and also taking on third place Mildura, who again just have that one loss. So both of those will be fighting to get that win to try and secure the home semi. That's up in Bendigo this weekend.
Very exciting. Thank you for that, Sarah. Massive weekend for CBL. Two conferences, well, one conference in both men and women with 1 week to go in the lead to finals. The rest all have two more weeks of CBL finals, top four, 1v4, 2v3 crossovers with just the semis and leading into the grand final. So a massive few weeks, super exciting. We cannot wait to see what unfolds there. So thank you, Sarah, for, again, one of our fantastic CBL updates as we jump back to Greg because we want to touch on some very, very special VJBL content, I guess you could say, because
We don't talk about the VJBL enough, Ted.
We really don't. But I'm ready for this and I'm ready to hear about it because this is definitely a space that, like you said, doesn't get spoken enough about, I think, and I definitely agree with you there. But it is grading time. And this is the most chaotic time, if you put it on a I don't even think an A3 spreadsheet is big enough.
It doesn't do it justice.
It really doesn't.
If you're listening and you're not driving, you're just, you know, listening, you're doing a bit of work or you're sitting at home just taking this in. Open up Google Chrome. Is that what you use now? I just clicked the button.
Sure.
Let's go with it.
Yep.
And Google VJBL grading maps. Our wonderful league manager, Adrian Campbell, typically each year we just put out the six pools that you start in.
Yep.
And essentially gets you across. You get fed information until VJL4 is the lowest division, which is the fifth competition in each age group. Adrian decided this year that it would be a good idea to put every pool all the way through the divisions onto one document so that everyone could see quite clearly how transparent the process is. And if there's a question of when I go around stadiums and involved in basketball on a Friday night, there's two groups of people. Oh my God, how good is the grading map? Oh my God, I can't understand the grading map. And I'm not going to profess to be able to tell you now and explain it in detail. However, what I think is important is that right now, regardless of whether you're in pool one or pool 12 or any other pool, right now you've got a clear you can get a clear understanding as to whether you come first, second, third or fourth in your pool,
yeah,
as to where you progress for a crossover game and where you can progress then to go into phase two in the new year.
Yeah.
And it used to be perceived that once you fell out of pool six, we're out of contention for VJL4, that it was a little bit of a lucky dip.
Mm.
And what this assures you is it's not. This is this becomes... It's quite clear in terms of what the process is that undertakes and how each win and loss can affect the position of which you end up in. And because we started VJBL, grading game one started Friday night and will continue effectively right through to the end of term three in 2025. In those crossover game sections, so we've got the pools to the far left, the crossover games there. I just want to cover off those letters that are listed indicate what game that match is the joint in the adjacent box. So, for instance, I'll start it at the top because that's the easiest. Where we've got game A, 2AP1.
Yep.
Might sound like you've gone back to year 7 algebra. In fact, it refers to pool 1 on the left.
Yes.
Second in pool A. Playing against 3BP1, which means third in B, pool 1. And therefore, the winner will then go straight to VC, and then the loser of game A is described there in grading phase two section as L-A. And that's essentially the way it works all the way down. What we've aimed to do here is to give every mum and dad, every coach, every association, staff, member, volunteer, delegate, contact, a thorough understanding of how the whole system works. And look, what I've, before I was at Basketball Victoria, many... only a couple of years ago, but this was devised, I'm going to go say 20, 25 years ago, a version of this. And what it's done is ensures that very rarely is there a grade of competition that is uncompetitive. Very rarely, I mean, I've been a coach in this situation in the past. You say, geez, we're unlucky. We lost this game. That's why we're in this division.
Yeah.
That's the point. You lost that game and that's why you're in that division. That's the very point. And every game has meaning.
So I see, so when you go into all these lines, so if you zoom in as much as possible, it actually does help you even more with all these lines of where you are being directed, because it's got all the wins and losses, it's got your first place, your second place, your third and fourth place in it, and actually does point to where you are going to be next. So, you know, you zoom out from afar and you're like, oh God, there's so many boxes and I don't know what's going on. But you actually zoom in and it actually does help you a lot.
Yeah.
With if you win that game, you follow that line where it says W and that's where your next pool is. Or you take an L and then you look at that next line and then, you know, you go into grading phase two and the crossovers and everything like that. You got the numbers. And from what I can gather, I guess that's what your ranking is. You finished on top. That's where you follow that line. Yep. 2, 3, 4. You follow that line.
So those that are new in the VJBL space, it is those grading phases where you've got three games. You would have noticed on your fixture, you get one at home, one away, and one neutral.
Yep.
In not necessarily in that order, but the idea is that there's an even playing field for everyone. You get a home game, you get an away game, and you get somewhat of a neutral matchup. So. Yeah, it's. I can't think of a sport that has a more complex grading system, but it suits our rep league. The rankings, how, and that's often a question that comes up. How do you sort out the rankings? When under 14s to under 18s, it's based on your finishing position of 2 years ago. So the current under 14 rankings are based on the finishing positions of under 12s.
Yep.
Where additional teams come in, often probably the biggest example is the country teams. Some of their results are taken to the equation of how they went in country champs in under 12s and other factors. The difference, I guess, is under 12s. It's results of the past 2 years combined help give you that ranking. So it's not perfect, but it's to me seems to be the fairest way that I'm aware of to start teams as a ranking and allows teams then to move up, down and wherever they need to go.
Absolutely. Now, you touched on Adrian before, who is the league manager. How long do you reckon he
probably spends, how long do you reckon he spends on doing this? Because he's got a team with him as well, but he is the master general of this. He takes this stuff very seriously. He's on it day and night. Do you reckon there's like, is there a number? Do you reckon there's a number?
You opened yourself up for a bit of grief from Adrian Campbell.
Yeah, that's fine. That is fine by me.
I know there are some very special people, and I'm sure Adrian acknowledged them as well, that helped put all this together many years ago. Mm. And now it is a matter of tweaking that he does and adding of extra divisions as the pools get entered. But yeah, look, we joke here in the office, Ted, it's a special group of people that form the leagues and competitions team. We're a special breed. Some of us are more special than others. just as refereeing attracts a certain type of individual and high performance coaching attracts a certain type of individual.
Yeah.
If you look at the leagues and if you look at the VJBL grading map and go, I've got no idea what is going on here and I have no interest in finding out, then working in the leagues and comp space probably isn't for you.
Mm. Well, I mean, we have someone relatively new, I guess, of Emma, who jumped on quite recently into our department, and and she had an A3 sheet of paper that she'd printed off.
It was cute, wasn't it?
Yeah, mid last week, I think it was, and I had no idea what it was. I just saw just so many different highlighted lines, and I think this was something you actually grabbed and walked around the office that day just to show everything and try to explain it.
I think it's important for people to understand this is not just a computer generated randomized system. Mm. There is a whole lot of thought and process that goes into this, and even the fixturing component. No, I think people just think this just gets automatically done by a computer. No, the fact that crossover games, for example, you'll play on Friday night after the third grading game, the fact that gets played 940, 950 games on that Friday night, and generally by Tuesday night, the results have been confirmed. All those games that go in for that crossover game in neutral. Mm. So allocating the games to the event, that's all done manually, which is mind-blowing to people when they think about it. But that's why when we talk about more than 1,600 teams playing in the VJBL, which is a result of the work the associations have done. Let's make no bones about it. Yep. This is the work of associations that get us to the point of our sport being as big as it is. But it's why fixturing 800 games or thereabouts on a manual basis. If uni students come up with a system for us that somehow makes all this work, or AI. I keep getting told AI is going to do it for me, Ted. I don't want to sound old, but I haven't seen it happen yet. So, it is a funny system, but one at the moment that is needed. And we've just aimed to provide some transparency behind the whole thing.
Well, I love it. I mean, for someone who's gone through this whole VJBL juniors myself as a player, and I've done a little bit of coaching with it and all, you honestly have no idea what's happened in the background to create this. You have no idea what it looks like. You have no idea what any other pool looks like. You don't know how the crossovers work. You find out where your game is on PlayHQ that weekend. You play that game, and then you even probably look on the weekend or Monday, Tuesday, and you're like, where am I next week? Where's my next game? I don't know. Why is it not up yet? This probably does explain it.
Yeah,
a lot more, and it gives that understanding that this team here puts in so much work, and like you said, credits the associations as well. But this team puts in so much work, and it's checked, and it's double checked, and it's triple checked that it's all correct.
Yeah, no, 100%, and I think it's exciting for people to know rather than randomize. I think it's good for people to understand there is meaning to the game, and where do I go next, and what happens. So. Yeah, fair bit to that. And, of course, Friday night was exciting, and that we've seen the expansion, I think, of the maturity of our game with the introduction of shot clocks across all potential 16s and 18s divisions.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you have it. We're in grading phase one, week one in the books, week two leading up this weekend. You said this goes across to the new year as well. Yeah. For those of you who didn't hear earlier on and still tuned into this podcast, Greg, how could you find all this information?
For the VJBL resources, just Google VJBL grading maps.
Yep.
And it'll take you to the VJBL resources page. Scroll down, and each of the age groups and genders has their own grading map. to reflect the size of their competitions.
There you have it. It is all there for everyone to see. It is so cool to understand. It is so cool to even just look at.
You will lose
from afar.
You will lose a night. You will lose a night if you are generally passionate about figuring out where your Pool 5 Group B team is and where the results, and you follow it through, you could lose a night, and it's a rabbit warren.
I actually hope you do, because it would build so much discussion the next day. It really would. That is all for us on the Basketball Victoria Leagues HQ podcast. Ted West here. Sarah in the studio. Greg as well. Thank you very much, guys. We'll catch you all next week.
Thank you.